Oh, my God. It's a 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless of the night. Come on, we need to sing that with faith tonight.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, come back. No wall you won't break down, lie you won't take down, come back to me.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming back to me. No wall you won't tear down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up.
coming after me. Salvation isn't something you earn. The love of God isn't something you earn. The love of God is something that's freely given to you. The love of God is something that He gave on the cross, and He did it and determined it before He ever created this world that He would do it. So this isn't something you can earn or deserve. It is freely given to you. So what I'm telling you is just accept His love. Amen? Yes. Jesus is Lord, we will rejoice, He has come to save us. Shall be called Emmanuel.
been released and has been determined for our life. And I promise you that if we would go all in for the Lord,
yes,
we would see the supernatural of His purpose fulfilled in our life. Amen.
No doubt.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, it's
Amen.
Just exciting to be in the King and in the house. Amen.
Amen. Service
Hallelujah.
Starts at 6:30. We'll have refreshments before and after.
Ooh.
You're welcome to come in and eat with us before, stay in fellowship, eat with us after.
Amen.
And then we're going to have Thursday night service like we
yep.
always do.
Amen.
And continue that on. And we have a great, exciting announcement that tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, your frame of the building will be delivered out to that land.
Yes.
That
Hallelujah.
Cool?
Amen. Amen.
That's awesome.
Hallelujah. And
the steel's being drawn.
Yeah. And I go pick up prints tomorrow, and we're still waiting for some information.
We're still waiting for the state to send back the approval so they can lay the concrete. And there's been talk, and just to bring you up to where we're at right now,
yep.
we're just the prints are at state. We've confirmed that the prints are at state, and we're just waiting them to come back and say yes, you can, you know, prove it so the concrete can be laid. And so the talks were this week, and we don't know exactly which one they're going to decide, whether they go ahead and dig the footers and start putting the frame of the building up and then lay the concrete in later, or they wait to lay the concrete if we're that close to state getting the approval in. So that they're making those final decisions, so we're just going to start driving out there all the time and see if the building's going up or the concrete's going up. Amen.
But it is going to be fantastic, and here's what's interesting. Please make the best of where we've been. Don't ever despise small beginnings. Let's be thankful. I'll never forget the lives that have been transformed here. I'll never forget the people who have been filled with the Holy Ghost. I'll never forget that at least in the last year and a half, the 6 people I know that were suicidal and gave their life to the Lord. I'll never forget the people who have received miracles after miracles and what God has done. And we're thankful. I'm glad that this is our last Christmas here. Amen. But I'm thankful for every Christmas we've had here so far. Amen. And I look forward to what God is going to do as we are turning pages in our history. Amen.
Amen.
And I want you to understand something. You are the reason that this even happened. And you need to make sure that you are part of the reason why God does the next phase of what He wants to do.
Does
you
it,
know,
yes.
I'm not saying this in a wrong way. I want you to know that even when I was coming to Kenton, I'm telling you, I was filled with all of these directions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this couldn't have been the Lord for me anyhow, because there was a place up north. And that stayed up north.
they,
you know, they took me to a church of 300 people and said, "We really want you to take over here." And I said, "No," because I just did not feel in my heart that I should leave Pastor Dosick or the plans that I just felt were coming from the Lord. And it's weird that I had to say no about 5 times in December to step into the yes of January, where we came up here to start right here at Only Believe Kenton. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm thanking God for the time that I was way back years and years ago, sitting in a little apartment studying the Bible, and the Lord said, "Turn on the TV."
Yeah.
And that was in the middle of the night, about 11:30, and I said, "Now this can't be God. This is definitely the flesh. Turn on the, close up the Bible and turn on the TV. If that ain't the devil, I don't know." But I'll never forget, I turned on the TV, and there was Jay Leno, who was just taking over the Johnny Carson show, so you know how many years ago this was. And he said, "There's this little town called Kenton, Ohio. And I tell you what, they call it Little Chicago. And, you know, if you wanted to kill somebody, that'd be a good place to get away from it." And he was just saying all this stuff. And it just made me mad. And here I am contending with the television in the middle of the night. Thank goodness my neighbors didn't hear. They would have been calling the police, because I said, "No, one day Kenton, Ohio will be known for the outpouring of God." And I didn't even know what a Kenton, Ohio was.
No,
but I knew that I loved Ohio and I loved Kenton even before I knew what it was.
Amen.
But I'm just promising you that there are things that God is yet going to do for us as we turn the page and we get ready to see the Lord come back.
Amen.
I know that God is bringing revival in us and upon us, and lives that have been touched are just the beginning of lives that are going to be touched in the kingdom.
And I think there's an important little testimony within this that, you know, thus far for the building, we've spent $250,000. We do have a bank loan out there. We have a construction loan, but we haven't touched that construction loan yet.
Amen. The money's been there, and God has just paid
out of this church already.
Amen.
And I think that's a huge testimony.
Amen.
I'm leaving it.
You should give yourself a hand clap.
Amen. Amen. I'm leaving at 3:15. I'm leaving at 3, and at 3:15, Brother Eric comes in and drops an invoice on my desk for $101,000. And I'll have to take it to the bank and try to get a draw off the thing. And that needs to be there by the next day. And I'm not here. I'm not working the next day. And it has to be there for the delivery of the, so we can keep the stuff with the building when it comes. And we were able to cut that check and hand it to them.
Amen.
And say, here you go. Next time, give us more than a day's notice.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
But it was exciting to be able to write that, and it was a gut check all the
time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we're believing God to bring resources in.
We are, but it was a real moment
that we have
that this church did that.
Amen.
That is a real moment of how faithful he's been already.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you all need to know and hear that, that is an awesome moment.
Yeah. I was gonna
and wait, a gut check moment.
I was going to wait till Sunday, but I'll give you one more little preview. I'll never forget that when we were coming here, God love them, but the main campus had a list of about 35 items. Oh,
no, Jared had the list.
Yeah, yeah. They had this list of 35 items that they wanted to give us to bring over here. And I went respectfully down that list, and I said, oh, first aid kit, yep, we better take that, and then there's a couple other things, about 4 or 5 things. And I said, well, we'll take these 5 things. And they said, no, we have all this here. And I said, listen to me. I said, if we're going to go to Kent and we're not going to use our faith and we're going to rely on the big main house to bring provision here, then I'm going to go back and sit under Pastor Dosa because there ain't no reason for me to come here. If God is going to do something here, then the resources will come from this area. And I got to tell you something. From refrigerators to TVs to carpet, God opened up the wellsprings of this arena and brought things. And that's what we're here for. There's a faith that God wants to bring here. There's souls that God wants to save right here. And you are the people that are going to help facilitate what God wants to do in the region that you are a part of. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, with that being said, I need to get out of the way. Because I better take up the offering. But then I'll give you a chance to give your offering. But then I'm going to sit down because we have Sister Bonnie and Mike Blow from North Carolina who travel with us around the world and pastor. And so they are in this region, and it's in my heart that they have something for. So I'm going to sit down and be quiet. So we got a miracle already. Hallelujah. And then what we're going to do is just let God impart something in us. So tonight, I just want to remind you that the Bible says that when it comes to giving, that a person need to be stirred up in their spirit. You know, Moses even sent people home, and he said, all of those who were stirred in their spirit by the Lord returned and gave what God had put in their heart to give. I want you to know that your relationship of tithing and offering and giving is a part of your walk, and it's in you to do what God has you do in this area. So tonight, I just want you to use your faith, bring your offerings and your tithes unto the Lord, and let's just rejoice in Him. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, as we get prepared to receive the word, Father, Lord, as we get prepared to receive of spiritual things and empowering things, God, we give out of natural substance, God, that you would touch your supernatural hand upon what we give. Father, as we release, it'll be given back, pressed down, good measure running over, Father. Lord, you are rebuking the devourer on our behalf. And God, you are protecting, increasing our seeds that are sown, Father, in every area, in every arena. And Father, we just declare your glory, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, at this time, we're going to have Pastor Mike and Pastors Mike and Bonnie do what's in their heart. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Good to be back with you again. I remember the last time I was here, we had a picnic out on the grounds. Amen. I know we had a good time out there, and then we got to see what the plans and all were, and got to spend some time with you here. I'm excited that you know, construction has started. Things are moving on. I was, you know, thinking earlier today, some of the things that Pastor Phil just shared with you, that you're going to be doing some things for the last time here, you know. And, you know, you're going to, and I was reminded of when the Israelites crossed the Jordan, and the Lord had them build a monument there, and he said, you're not going to pass this way anymore. You're going to do some things you're not going to do anymore here. And I know a year or so from now, you're going to have to look back, and you're going to have to recall these memories. Because things are going to be completely different, completely changed, and I'm sure you've shared a lot of things together. Some good, some not so good. But you got a future, and a hope, and a call, and you're going to do mighty work for God. Amen. Amen. You and I've done some things together for sure. I am glad to call Pastor Phil friend. You know, he's a lot to me. He's a mentor, and we've shared a lot. He's blessed me time and time again. But the most valuable thing I see in him, he's my friend, and we have fun together. We have fun on the mission field together. Have fun preaching together and sharing God's word, but we just sometimes just go and have fun together. And we love to hunt together, and we fish together. And, you know, he comes and we just try to make him feel relaxed and at home. And he's done the same thing for me this week here. We've enjoyed being with them this week. He has carried me. That's just for you, Miss Regina. He carried me to Toledo today. Oh, me. Then she said he drove me. I don't know where it was, with a whip or with a stick. Oh, me. But we have had fun. We really have. He got a big old trophy dog. Oh, me. Anyway, last night I saw a picture, and I knew it was meant for this house. And I've asked God to give me a revelation about the picture. I don't have a lot. But, you know, here we are approaching the end of the year. And for me, my goal setting time for another year starts somewhere in the September, October area. But there's still that closeout. And actually, that's the Hebrew calendar when the new year begins. And but, you know, as my year closes out and I have to tie up loose ends and things, we do that right on for that last quarter of the year. And then, you know, and then we start to endeavor into a brand new year. And as I was, as I got this picture, I knew it was as the year is drawing to a close, that I saw something. Now, I am a visual learner, and God often shows me when I see prophetic things, when I get words of knowledge and things like that, it comes in pictures. It doesn't generally come in words. If it comes in words, it's just one or two words, and he develops it from there. But most of the time, it's in pictures. I even dream in cartoons sometimes. Seriously. With colors and everything. I mean, it's a little bit strange, but it happens. And I saw this picture last night. And it was a picture of a person, and I couldn't tell you whether it was a man or a woman. And I think that's indicative of God, that it could be either or could be both, could be many or could be one or two. You know, there's, you know, just no way to limit what I saw. And over that person's right shoulder, somewhere out here, in their peripheral vision, was something just hanging there. It wasn't in the forefront and something that they were seeing every day, but it was something that's just been hung out there for a while. And I'm wondering, is there anyone here who something has been bothering you that's been lingering for a while? Now, I know you're all people of faith, and I know you've been staying with a positive confession. You've prayed, and you believe God's going to deal with it. But it's still just been hanging there. And it still concerns you. Well, I believe as we approach the end of the year, especially what all you have to do for this coming year, that thing needs to be dealt with, over and gone. Now, I'm not sure exactly what that thing is. Could be different things for different people. Could be something that you're trying to overcome. Could be something that occurred a while back, and it's just there. It could be something that you haven't just been able to resolve. Maybe it's an issue. I got an issue myself that happened over a year ago that has not yet been resolved. So I understand what it is to have something hanging. It's a little bit annoying that it's still here when you've tried to do everything you knew to do, that you've stood firm. And you believe God, but it just won't go away. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to come forward. Bonnie, come with me. If there's something out there, I'm just going to ask you to come forward. We're going to deal with it first. It's not going to be a problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. Where did our keyboardist get to? She slipped out. Hallelujah. Glory, Lord. I think there's some things when we move into this, as we're moving into this new year, and with the outlook and the potential and the great possibilities, the great things that God has in store for you, there's just absolutely no room for baggage. Things of the past need to be in the past. Amen? I'll do this individually. Thank you.
Jesus does gives me freedom, opens prison doors, breaks off every chain. That's what Jesus does. Jesus does. And I know you've done it for them all. You do the same for me. You do the same for me. calms the raging seas. Restless find their peace. That's what Jesus does. Speaks forgiveness. Responds to every need. Restores the hope in me. That's what Jesus does. Gives me mercy. Calms the raging seas. Restless find their peace. That's what Jesus does. Speaks forgiveness. Responds to every need. Restores the hope in me. That's what Jesus does. Oh, that's what Jesus does. Father's arms are open.
I just wanted to let you know how precious pastors Phil and Regina have become to us and how they've become a part of our family. Not only do we feel like they're part of our family, but our grandsons believe they're part of our family. We came, was it July? June? And we went to the Air Force Museum. We took our grandsons, and Pastors Phil and Regina Madison went with us, and we all got together for a picture at the museum. And when school started back, our youngest grandson, who is 6, carried that picture for show and tell. And he said, he was telling them about the trip and everything and what they had done. Well, most of the teachers and all know who we are. And the teacher said, well, who are these two? And Keaton says, this is my Yankee family. So he loves them too.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory. I don't have time to do everything I intended. I've done what I know that the Lord meant for me to do. I want to take a portion of the word that I was going to share and just give you a little bit of it. And so if you'll turn in your scripture to Luke chapter 16. This was nothing what I intended to share, but the Lord has impressed upon me about friendship. And but this scripture I was going to use for a different teaching. We're starting in Luke chapter 16, verse 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him, and he said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do, for my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship? I cannot dig, and to beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what I'll do, that when I am put out of stewardship, that may receive me into their house, that they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and he said unto the first, how much owest thou my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thou thy bill, and sit down, and quickly write 50. Then he said to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, and 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80, which is 80. And then the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now, this parable is more perplexing than all the other parables put together. Because here we've got the Lord commending a thief. Now, the Lord is not commending his sin. He is commending his resolution of his sin. And this is what he said, and I say unto you, make yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fall, they may receive unto you everlasting habitations. Now, What he was, this man came up with an idea that he would use. Now, we all know that this parable is for us. We are the children of light. And what the Father tells us is that sometimes worldly people do better with their money or his money in making friends than we do. Now, a lot of times we look at our friends for what they can be to us. Their value to us. Now, let me say inexplicably, you cannot put a monetary value on a friend. It's impossible. If I had to pay for my friends, I couldn't afford one. I'm telling you. What I have, if I bankrupt myself, would not purchase one friend. I should not expect my friends to make me. I need to make them. If you want friends, Proverbs says you have to show yourself friendly. What the gist of this scripture is that we should use money to make friends, not friends to make money. Your friend is worth more to you than what he can give you. I don't care how rich your friends are. The value of a friend is so far beyond what you have or what they have. Friends complete us. As iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. Two can accomplish more than one. Two can help when one falls. One can help the other when one falls. One will lift the other up. Every time that, you know, you'll see, I know worldly people that throw parties like crazy. They go buy all the stuff and invite everybody over and they have a crazy time. Now, I'm not telling you you need to go out and buy the supplies that they buy and furnish the things that they furnish. But we need to have some parties sometime. And we need to bring in not just people whom we already are friends with, but we need to be making new friends. We need to be investing in others. Find somebody you can be a blessing to. Make them your friend. You know, there are several different people or people who have different jobs that it's easy to really bless them with money. I mean, like waiters and waitresses. You know, I like it when I walk in a restaurant and they smile at me. That they recognize who I am. I know I'm going to get good service. And I know I'm going to be treated kindly and politely, because when I leave, I'm going to be a blessing. No matter what kind of service I get, I'm still going to be a blessing. God will not bless you unless you're first a blessing. If he sees he can trust you, you see, the abundant life is being able to invest in others and build friendships. Build friendships. You know, I have to lay down the law with this man. When he comes to North Carolina, he put his pocketbook away. He tries to cheat every now and then. You know, I just accept it up here. I don't say nothing. It's okay. I appreciate it. But when you come there, you play by my rules. Sometimes it gets, you know, he liked to bankrupt me on shotgun shells last year. He did a whole lot better this year. Glory. Friends, you can't have too many. In the latter part of this last verse says, when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting inhabitations. See, this story is about a natural habitation. He knew that when he lost his job, he'd lose the house that went with it. He'd lose his nice soft bed and all the conveniences. You know, he had everything. And then he was going to lose it. But then this scripture, Jesus himself said, if we'll make friends with his money, if we'll be a blessing with his money, it will bring us into everlasting inhabitations. Now, I'm not saying you're buying your way into heaven. But what I am saying is you're laying up treasure in heaven. You're laying up treasure in heaven. You see, when the rich young ruler, when he came and he questioned Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, you must, you know, keep the commandments. And he said, well, I have since I was a kid. He said, one thing you lack, treasure in heaven. It's not that God wants everything you have. But Jesus said, where a man's treasure is, there also shall be his heart. And Jesus just wants to know, where is your heart? And you tell him where your heart is when you lay up treasures by blessing other people. Amen? I'm gonna close with what I got to share. I appreciate everybody who came forward, and I believe that we're going to have freedom. I really do. If there's another issue, if somebody needs prayer for healing or for health or something like that, something we didn't address, or you've got another need you want us to pray for, I'm going to just ask you to come quickly right now. Anybody else? Anybody got a need? Everybody good? Here we go. Come on. Bonnie, come in and pray with this lady. Hallelujah.